You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
God is good. He is so good to us. And, sometimes if we're not paying attention to that, we'll forget just how good He is to us. I love the scripture that reminds me. When you think God's not good, the scripture in Psalms that says He daily loadeth us with benefits. I always think about my old pickup truck. And I remember one day I loaded this thing full of wood. It was a little S10, springs completely out of it. It had no springs. It was just sitting on the axles. Man, you went over a bump. It was like there was no move. It was just ba-boom. And I thought about on the way home, the Lord reminded me. He's like, this is how I bless you daily, Billy. You just don't always see it. And that song, God is so good. He's so good. He's good to us all the time, all the time. The sun makes me think about spring. You realize in a month, things are going to start. I know y'all are laughing, but it's going to start trending that way where the snow is going to melt. You know what I'm really excited about? I'm excited about being able to see that foundation for that building over there that the Lord has laid. You know, don't forget, guys. We are in a building program. We are in the midst of watching God do something great. There is a foundation for a building over there. There are walls. There is a building that is ready to be put up over there. Let's continue earnestly to pray for God's provision as we do look towards the summertime, not just for our own desires and the things we want to do, but to see God accomplish His will that He's brought us to. And so continue to pray for that. Continue to pray for that. And I will say this, I plan to be here tonight, plan to be back here tonight. One thing I've realized being up here now 6 years, I'm sorry, I got to tuck this thing on my little mitt in the side before I spit it on somebody while I'm preaching. But, it took me 6 years to realize that winter can be a difficult time up here. I hear people say all the time when I first got here, it's like, man, it's so dark. It's just seems like it's always snowing. Winter's always going, and I noticed people, and I scratched my head for the first couple of years. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not seeing it. But then it's like a year six comes in. It's like, oh, yeah, I get it now. I get what they're talking about. It seems like winter lasts forever here, and which I love the winter. I do. But the Lord put it on my heart to just take some time to just focus on God's goodness and God's uplifting spirit that He wants to encourage us. He wants to uplift us. And that's where we're coming from today. Really, the title, if you want to put it down, is From Low to Lifted. From Low to Lifted. We're going to be in Psalm 61, and while you're turning there, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the seatbacks in front of you, but while we're turning there, listen to this. The psalmist begins this song with his head hanging low, but he ends it with his head lifted high, and the song still on his lips. At the start, he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed. He's weary. He's heavy. A life is pressing down on him harder than he can handle. And if we're honest here, we've been there. We've been there. Like you and me, the psalmist found himself down and out, needing encouragement, needing strength, needing to be uplifted. The weight of life was real for him, very real, and he felt it. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't performing. He was indeed overwhelmed. But here's what makes the difference when you're overwhelmed: what you run to. Here's what makes the difference when life is hard: what you run to. When the weight gets heavy, when the weight got heavy for him, he did was so important. We didn't see him running to his spouse or his job or his children or to his bank account, but we see him reaching towards the one, the only one that could truly help lift his spirits from that place where he was at, where he was overwhelmed. He cried out to the Lord in his overwhelming state. And somewhere between verse 6 and verse 8, we see something happen. We see his circumstances didn't change, but his position did. His circumstances didn't necessarily change at all, but his position did. His head came up, his faith rose up, his song came back. And that's what happens when God lifts you. That's what happens when you look to the Lord. Today we are talking about being uplifted, right? Being uplifted. Hey, read these two verses on the screen with me, would you? Let's read them together. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1 and 2. Let's pray and jump in. Lord, I love you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd meet with us today. I pray that you would, Lord, speak to your people today. Lord, remove me, my voice, my presence. Lord, may it be you speaking to your people, Lord, to uplift, to encourage, to strengthen. Lord God, thank you for all that you're doing here. We know you love us, Lord God. Remind us today, and Lord, we love you. Lord, meet with us. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Write it down, number one. Number one, write it down. Notice his condition. His condition. Number one, his condition. The psalmist's condition, you can write next to his condition, overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Has anybody ever felt overwhelmed before? Has anybody ever felt underwater before? His condition, he was feeling overwhelmed. Notice, A, he feels alone and isolated. Alone and isolated. Has anybody in here ever felt alone and isolated before? You know, look at verse number six, chapter 61, verse number one. It says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayers from the ends of the earth. Wait a minute. From the ends of the earth, that's a place of isolation. That's a place where he is feeling alone. He feels alone. The idea of the ends of the earth gives a sense of isolation. That North Pole, that South Pole, that distance. He feels distance. He feels isolated. He feels alone. But wait a minute. He's the king. He's got people all around him. But yet, inside, he feels all alone. Have you ever felt like that? You have people all around you. He's the king. He had mighty men protecting him all the time. Men that would literally lay down his life and die for him. But yet, here, he's feeling a place of isolation. Even from the ends of the earth. Even from the ends of the earth, he cried unto. Who's he crying unto? He's crying unto the Lord. When you feel far from God, cry out anyway. See, he felt far away. He felt like he was at the ends of the earth, but he cried out to the Lord anyway. He's feeling isolated and alone, but also, B, he feels overwhelmed and underwater. The word literally overwhelmed means basically enveloped or completely covered. Submerged. Look at verse number one again. Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayers. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. From the ends of the earth, even though I seem so far away from you, I'm going to cry out anyway. When I feel like I'm underwater and overwhelmed, like I'm drowning in life, I'm going to cry out. Anyway, David admits, and I love this, my heart is overwhelmed. Life was heavier than he could carry. And notice, he didn't hide it. He cried out. Sometimes we try to hide it, and I'm not saying you wear your emotions, you wear those things on your sleeve all the time, but you can't always hide it. You must come face to face with it. David is coming face to face, face with his overwhelming feeling and where he is at in life. Overwhelmed, but still praying. Pressed, but still pursuing God. His condition, he's overwhelmed. He's feeling like he's underwater. He's literally feeling like he's drowning in life's circumstances. But notice number two, we see first his condition, he's overwhelmed. Number two, notice his request. Notice his request. Oh God, hear me. Oh God, hear me. Have you ever felt like God is just not hearing your voice? Have you ever felt that God is not listening to your voice? I love how he cries out to the Lord, even though he may feel distant from the Lord. At the ends of the earth, he cries out, "Hear my cry." That cry is almost like a screech. It's different than a prayer. It's a cry like not even words, but maybe sobbing. Maybe as that baby cries for its mother, it can't shape the words. All it can do is make the noise. Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayers, he says. He made the decision to call out to God for help in his most overwhelming time. He calls out to him. Notice, and this is so important, it's not just who he's calling out to, but what he's calling out for. Sometimes it's not just going to the Lord in prayer, but it's what you're praying for. And I love what his request points us to, what he's asking for. Notice what he's asking for most in this overwhelming time. Write it down. What he's requesting for is to be led. To be led. Look at, or to lead me. Look at Psalms 61, verse 2. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. What's those next two words? Lead me. You know what his first request is from God Almighty? Is he saying, God, lead me. Lead me in this time. He didn't cry, fix it. He didn't cry, change my circumstances. He didn't cry, remove it. He cried, God, lead me. What I need right now, God, is I need you to lead me. Even a king such as David realized that he needed to be led. David realized that he could not fix his own, or he could not find his own way through what was overwhelming him. As he walked a path that felt like, very much for him, the valley of the shadow of death, he understood something deeper. He did not need to lead at this time. He needed to be led. He was the king. He was the greatest man in the land at that time, but he realized that in his condition, he could not lead. And so therefore, he come to God, bowing before him, broken before him by his circumstances, saying, God, I can't lead. God, lead me. Most would say that this was at the time in David's life where his son Absalom has just been killed. The Bible tells us the story that Absalom, a very gorgeous looking man, rode this donkey, this horse under this tree, and his hair got caught in this tree, and hanging from the tree, he was killed. David probably hears this news and it just breaks his heart, because part of the reason that Absalom probably got killed was because some poor choices that he had made in his life. He knew what Scripture said, "Cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree." While David would have forgiven Solomon, God said it was enough. Or while David would have forgiven Absalom, God said, "No, it's enough." That picture of him hanging on that tree, broken maybe by his past failures, broken by his current situation. He realized how unstable things in his life had become. And he said, I can't lead right now, God. You know, oh, that we as Christians would come to the place where we stop trying to lead ourselves and pray and say, God, I need you to lead me. He knew at this time when he was overwhelmed that his emotions could not be trusted. His heart was overwhelmed. He didn't need to lead. He needed leadership. He needed God. Even the greatest of leaders need to be led. He says, lead me to the rock. He cries out to God in prayer. Lead me where I need to be. Lead me where I need to be. It's so important. It's so important that in times of overwhelming circumstances in our life, David understood this. He knew his emotions couldn't be trusted to lead him down the right path because he was so emotionally overwhelmed. He had to step back because his emotions at this time were bigger than life. And if he was to lead himself, his emotions would be the one making the decisions. See, he was careful not to let himself be emotionally driven, but to be spiritually led. And in order for him to be spiritually led instead of emotionally driven was for him to say, God, I need you to lead me. But you know, it's interesting. If you want God to lead you, you have to be willing to follow. You know, it's crazy how sometimes we're, you know, in the most difficult circumstances, that's when we're finally willing to follow. See, he cries out, his request was, lead me. But then the second thing we see him requesting is, stabilize me. Stabilize me. Look at verse number 61. Notice where he asked God to lead him. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to where? To the rock. To the rock. When everything else was shifting, he asked to be led to some place unshakable, to something unshakable, that rock. He understood that life is unstable and constantly changing. But God is unchangeable. He's always the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He is a firm and steady foundation. When the storms of life comes, he remains unshakable. We see in Matthew chapter 7, the very end, that wise man who gets to that rock, who seeks to build his life on the rocks, both those who build their life on the sand and those who build their life on the rock, both have the same storm that comes, but the outcome is drastically different between the two. The one who is built on the rock has the stability that can withstand the circumstances. The one who's built on the rock has the ability to withstand the storms. See, David understood that life was shaky and it was unstable. He cries out to God, God, don't just leave me, but lead me to that stable place. Lead me to that place. Lead me to that place. See, David realized he needed a stable foundation. See, he realized how unstable he was within himself, that his emotions couldn't be trusted, his feelings couldn't be trusted, and he realized in this time, the pain, the storm, the circumstances, that he had to step away, that he had to be led, that he needed God to stabilize him. But you know what? He prayed for one more thing. Elevate me. Elevate me. He says, God, lead me. God, stabilize me. God, elevate me. Look at Psalm 61 again. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. That is what? That is higher than me. He was saying within himself, God, I need you to take me higher. I need you to take me out of these circumstances, out of this situation that I'm in. I need you to elevate me. He's not asking for promotion or those kind of things. See, David was the highest in the land. He was the king. He's like, God, but I know. He contrasts God with himself, saying, God, I know your ways are so much higher than my ways. I know your ways are so much better than my ways. I can't understand them. I can't conceive why I'm going through what I'm going through right now. But God, I know you do. God, I know you do. Listen to this. A little boy loved sitting at his grandmother's feet while she worked on her embroidery. From where he sat on the floor, all he could see was tangled threads, knots, loose ends, strands going in every direction. Grandmom, he said, this doesn't look like anything. It just looks like a mess. She smiled and told him to stand up. When he arose and looked from above, he gasped. The messy threads that had formed a beautiful picture, carefully woven flowers in bright colors, perfectly placed. My child, she said gently, you were only seeing the underside. From where we sit, at times, life can seem extremely tangled, confused. There's pain, there's loose ends, there's unanswered questions, but from heaven's perspective, the design is whole. What seems chaotic underneath may be part of the masterpiece that God is making from above. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Often he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride. Forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent, and the shuttle cease to fly, will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reasons why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. Do you know who penned that? Corrie ten Boom. If you don't know who Corrie ten Boom is, if you want to talk about circumstances, if you think your situation is bad, read her autobiography about the concentration camps, about all that she endured as a Christian, about how she lost her sister and her father in the concentration camps, while at the time she could not see what God was doing. But God was doing a great work nonetheless. For her, she was able to see it after the fact, but for us, not always. See, he needed an elevated view. He needed a top-down view because life can be messy. See, David needed to see above the mess. He needed to be led to the rock that was higher than himself, looking above, down. He needed to get above his feelings. He needed to get above his fears, above his circumstances. He needed a heavenly perspective. We see his condition, overwhelmed. We see his request, hear me. But we see, number three, his proclamation, God has always been there. This is where we begin to see him going from low to being lifted. As he seeks the Lord, look at verse number three of Psalm 61. Notice the first few words. Look at what he says. For thou, what's those next two words? Has been. Has been. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemies. When he got to the top of the rock, In the presence of his Savior, he could see clearly how God always protected him and how God always preserved him. He just couldn't see it when he was living in his circumstances. Don't miss the phrasing. For thou hast been. He's seeing from a different perspective that, God, you've always been there. God, you've always been with me in the hard times. You've always been a shelter. You've always been a strong fortress. I just might not have seen it in the midst of my circumstances. See, in the midst of our circumstances, you know what we do sometimes? We do the same thing that the disciples did on the boat, even though Jesus was right there sleeping on the boat with them. They forgot who was with them, and they looked at their circumstances, and they forget. Master, do you not care that we're about to die? The circumstances of life can forget whose presence we are in. You must remember, God's throne is not just heaven. God is with us. God is with us. Peter, perfect example, right there in the presence of God. So close to God in proximity. But yet the storms of life detracted him from looking at. And see, here, David, now seeing from an elevated perspective, God, you've always been here. God, you are my shelter. When he got to the rock, his perspective changed. He realized, notice what he realized, God had been his shelter. Think about this. What's one of the things that you need the most in overwhelming times? Rest. Rest. You know what a shelter is? You know what that shelter means right there? It's a place of rest. A shelter is a place to find rest when you're weary. David, now on top of the rock, finding the rest, very much needed to continue. God was his resting place. God was his shelter, but you know what else he realized? God had been his strong tower all along. It's easy for us to forget, and I hear people say it all the time, man, the devil's just really attacking. Hey, please, 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 as a church, remember who's in charge. Nothing will ever come to you or ever touch you that your Father doesn't permit. And while the devil may use it to try to use that to get you to quit, hey, God's using it to forge you, to shape you, to mold you into the man he wants you to be. Don't ever forget that. Don't give the devil credit that he does not deserve. Hey, God is working. Here, I love this strong tower. This is a place of protection. This is a place where he, David, could find the rest that he needed without the fear of the enemy being able to seize upon him. This is a place where he didn't have to look over his shoulder wondering, man, who's going to get me? What's going to happen? I love Psalms chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell safely. See, safety. David is realizing not only my rest, but my protection comes from the Lord. And what's happening is when he's realizing these things in the presence of the Lord, he was in the dumps. His circumstances, while they're real, his situation, while they're real, is literally he's beginning to change his perspective from low to lifted. The problem wasn't God's absence. It was his perspective. When we get higher, we see clearer. Don't forget this. Isaiah, going through a very difficult time. King Hezekiah had just died. A godly king, a good man. Who's going to pick up and lead after? Is it going to be someone who will lead us to Christ, Isaiah would say. And while he is mourning, while he is in the midst of his circumstances, he seeks God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. What's he say? I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And God, his train filled the temple. God is so big that when we are in his presence, we forget about our circumstances. And God is so big, he shows us, hey, I'm bigger than your circumstances. I'm bigger than the problems that you're facing. Hey, I'm still the king, Isaiah. that sits on the throne. He was an earthly king. I'm the eternal king. We can't forget the perspective. It's here where we see him stop focusing on his circumstances and start looking at God's goodness and blessings in his life. And this is when he shifts from low to lifted. We see his condition overwhelmed. We see his request, hear me. We see his proclamation, God has always been there. But then number four, his vow, I will abide. Look at verse five. For thou, O God, hast heard my vow. You've heard my prayers. You've heard my vow. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. See, after seeing God's goodness in his life, after having that renewed perspective, he responds. And I want you to notice how he responds. He responds with a desire to commit. You know what a vow is? It's a promise. It's a commitment to the Lord. Look at verse number four, and we'll see what he vows and commits to the Lord. Say those first three words with me. I will abide in thy tabernacles forever. Say those next three words with me. I will trust. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know what he's saying here? Hey, I will abide. I will trust. David vows to commit. I will trust. I will abide. What I found to be true in life is this. People don't avoid commitment because they're afraid of commitment. We're all committed to something. Most often we're committed to ourselves, our comforts, our goals, and our freedom. The real reason we hesitate is that committing to someone or something else requires sacrifice. It costs us time and energy and control, and therefore many people are unwilling to make a commitment that competes with their own commitment to themselves. David is saying here, after he sees God's goodness and God's commitment to him, hey, I've always been there for you, David. I've always been your shelter. I've always been your strong tower. David, in desire of his heart, says, oh God, I want to commit to you. I want to abide in your tabernacle. I want to trust in the covert of your wings. To abide is to dwell with. I love it because it's similar words used to describe how a husband is supposed to dwell with his wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, dwell with your wives, right? It's that similar word. It's abiding with the Lord. It's staying with the Lord, abiding under or in his shelter. I love the idea of trust in. Trust in him to lay down all self-reliance. Trust in him and lay down self-reliance and choose God-dependent. You know what he's saying? I'm not going to trust my ability. I'm not even going to trust my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings. But God, I am going to trust yours. I love what Proverbs says. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he what? Shall direct thy path. It's a commitment to trust his strength instead of my own. It's a commitment to trust his wisdom instead of my own understanding. Instead of my own reasoning. It's a commitment to go his way instead of my own way. Even though sometimes it might not make sense. See, God is not, what he's going to tell you to do sometimes, it's not going to make sense. Sometimes we try to rationalize what God is telling us to do, but God, his ways are higher than our ways. He doesn't think the way that we think, and we're like, well, God's not telling me to give that. God's not telling me to do that. God's not calling me to the mission field. God's not calling me to be a pastor. That would mess up my plans. No, God will call us sometimes to do things that seem, from a worldly perspective, crazy. And I love that David here commits. Who are you committed to today? David, out of desire, realized that God had always been there for him. He moves from panic to promise, from fear to faithfulness. His time in God's presence produced a desire to commit and to abide and to trust in the Lord. Number five, his focus. Look at where his eyes are looking now. His focus is now eternal. Look at verse 6 and 7. Thou wilt prolong the king's days. This even points us to Jesus, the king. Jesus, the king, Matthew, all generations, he's not going to live all generations, but this is pointing to the Davidic covenant that God made with him. Hey, a king will always sit on the throne, David. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. Hey, looking to the future. Looking to God finishing the work that he has started, and his years, his many generations, he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth with which may preserve him. You know what he's starting to realize? These afflictions down here are but for a moment. His focus shifts from temporary pressure to God's eternal promise. When things get hard, this side of heaven, it's good for us to remember that our light affliction is but for a moment, Paul said. It's but for a moment. And then number six, we close with this one. His praise lifted. His praise is lifted now. He's no longer overwhelmed in the midst of his circumstances. He is literally coming out of this season, not just coming out, well, I made it another day. He's coming out, praise lifted, song elevated to the Lord. Look at verse number 8. So will I sing praise. Oh, I love the praise that we have here. It's not just coming and just singing and going through a form of something. It's us praising the Lord. And I love, so I will sing praise unto thy name. I love the prophetic nature of this right here. What's the next word? Forever. I will sing praise unto thy name forever. Hey, if you don't like singing now, get used to it, because this is heaven. There's going to be a whole lot of singing going on in heaven for eternity. And he says, I love this, right? Notice this. He says, I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily. Here it is. He comes back to that commitment. He comes back to that vow. And it's not by force. This is the thing. It's by desire. He spent time in God's presence. He realized how good God was, and he realizes, hey, I'm going to sing praise that I may daily perform my vow, that I might daily remember God's goodness, that I might daily abide with him, recognize his presence is always with me, that I might daily trust in him. He began overwhelmed by his circumstances, but he ended overwhelmed by God's goodness. Have you ever been so down and out before that you seek the Lord and you come out of that time? You might have tears running down your face, but you realize God is good. You ever been there? This is where David said, what consumed him with fear now compels him with praise. So he sings to the Lord daily, not just in gratitude, but as a reminder of the desire to remain faithful and to keep his vow before God. He started overwhelmed. He started overwhelmed by life. He ended overwhelmed by God. He started low. He ends lifted. You know, let's take some time today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's reflect on what we heard as my wife comes and sits at the piano. You have to ask yourself, if God doesn't want to help lift our spirits, why is Psalm 61 in God's Word? God doesn't want to live in our circumstances, or he doesn't want us to live in the pain and the suffering and just the poor perspective of our circumstances, although our circumstances are very, very real. How did God speak to you today? Pray it in. Maybe you're overwhelmed right now. Maybe nobody knows. You're like David. You're feeling like you're in an isolated place, but people are all around you. Maybe you're literally feeling overwhelmed and at your wit's end, and you're the only one that knows it, you and God. Maybe you've thought about doing stupid stuff or just packing up and running away, or even worse. David didn't try to hide where he was at. He realized it's okay not to be okay. You know, it's okay not to be okay. But David didn't want to live there. He couldn't change his circumstances, but he could change his perspective. There are people here in this room right now that you would say you love God, you're saved, you're washed in the blood, you know where you're going when you die, but you are overwhelmed. Life is heavy, your heart is tired, and if you're honest, you feel like you are literally at the ends of the earth. You've tried to carry it, but it's breaking you down. You've tried to fix it, but you can't. You've tried to figure it out, but you can't comprehend it. But today, the Spirit of God is saying, you don't need to lead. You need to be led. Hey husband, hey wife, how's your marriage? Are things just unstable and you just need God to lead you because you can't figure things out? Hey Christian, maybe you need to stop trying to lead yourself and follow God so He can lead you. David didn't ask God to remove the storm. He asked God to lead him to the rock. That rock that is higher than your depression. That rock that is higher than your anxiety. That rock that is higher than your financial struggle. That rock that is higher than your family pressures. Higher than your fear. You don't need new circumstances. You need a higher position. If you're overwhelmed today, the Lord wants to lead you to the rock. The question is, will you follow Him? See, He's the only one that truly knows the path through what seems to be the valley of the shadow of death. You got to trust Him. You got to trust Him and you got to be willing to follow Him. If you've been trying to lead yourself, you have to ask yourself, how's that working for you? Come and ask Him to lead you today. The Lord came to this earth that we would have life and that we would have it more abundant. God wants to, man, lift you up. You know, this is His church. And this is His message. And this is His voice today that cries out to you and says, hey, I'll lead you to the right place. And praise the Lord that it always leads us to Him. And that rock, Jesus Christ. My firm foundation, oh, it's Jesus. I don't know how God spoke to you today, and I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how this past week has been. I don't know how this past month has been. But your Heavenly Father does. And He loves you. And He loves you so much. Let Him encourage you today. Let Him uplift you today. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, it's hard for us to comprehend just how much You care about us and just how much You love us. Lord, there is faith involved because we can't always see the tangible hand of God upon our shoulder. And we can't always hear that audible voice. Lord God, but we have Your word that is sure, that is a rock that can be trusted, that is unchangeable, that not one little small jot or tittle will go unanswered and unaccomplished. Lord God, and you brought us to this place. Lord, this isn't the work of man. This is your heart towards your people. This was your heart towards David, a man who had committed adultery, a man who had messed up in life, a man who had even had, at one point in time, somebody murdered. Lord God, and if you loved him, oh, how much you can love us. If you didn't run from him, Lord God, how much you're not going to run from us. Lord God, you're always by our side. The question is do we see it? Lord God, help us today. Lord God, use these next couple services to truly uplift us and challenge us. And if nothing else, Lord God, if we're in a good place, praise you for that. Thank you that we're in a good place for those that are. Lord God, let our praise be lifted that we might accomplish daily our vow to abide in you and to trust in you. Lord, I love you. I pray that you'd be with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.